quite a good program. And this afternoon, 3 o'clock start, 2 o'clock at least, the place will be open. So, eh? Are you good? Oh, with the, yeah, good, yeah, great. Yeah, oh, I know, he was taking it at 6 o'clock, wasn't he? When you're praying, please pray for Robert, because he pulled a muscle on Friday. Oh, right. Right.
He says he's
5 o'clock, eh? I was well asleep then.
Yeah, I wasn't. Never mind. Anyway, it's all good.
Right.
Jesus.
So,
Brian and I are supposed to be helping to, I don't know, anything
okay.
We can help with, but what time would you like us to get? Brian's saying just come at 3 o'clock and we'll sort it out after the service.
Yeah, so maybe 2-ish would be good.
Would you like me to be there too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, folks. Today is Pentecost, the day we remember the coming of the Holy Spirit, and that is what we're celebrating in our service today. Can I just remind you that the Holy Spirit and Jesus and God the Father, all three part of one Godhead, were there from the beginning of creation. Scripture makes that quite clear. But what we're celebrating at Pentecost is the coming of the Holy Spirit in a new way, which comes to individuals that have been, if I can put it this way, born again. And the Holy Spirit was promised by Jesus. He said, my Father will send the Spirit when I have ascended to heaven. What we're going to look at today is the gifts of the Spirit. So it is recognizing the coming of the Spirit in a new way. But the Spirit was there from the beginning, so we do need to make sure we realize that, otherwise we're going to have a contradiction in Scripture. Right, Holy Spirit, we welcome you, our first song.
Holy Spirit, welcome you.
Let us come to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. God, our Father, we thank you for this special day, a day when we remember that, as promised, you sent the Spirit into the world in a new, wonderful, and powerful way. We celebrate because we know without the Spirit working in our lives, without the Spirit working in the church, we could not do what we are called upon to do. We thank you that the Spirit equips and empowers us to serve you, O God. And we acknowledge that you, O God, are one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. Lord, we are thankful for the beauty of your creation. We are thankful for the way that you have served people throughout all time, and we thank you for the way that you are serving your people today. We thank you that you love all people, that nobody is short of your love. There is an invitation from you, O God, to all people to accept the great and wonderful gift of salvation that you have made available to us. Lord, how wonderful it is when we can stand and acknowledge that you, one God, Father, Son, and Spirit, are working among us today. And we know that you wish those who believe, you wish that we would share our belief with others, that we should be your ambassadors. And with the power and gifts of the Spirit, we are able to do this. So, Lord, help us to acknowledge that you have given to us the very honor of serving you. May we be your faithful servants. May we be your faithful ambassadors. May we reach out with the message of your saving love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's now the first reading, and that's over to Stuart, isn't it?
A living sacrifice. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to be you of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Humble service in the body of Christ. For the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body, with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve it. With teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully.
O God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire today.
Send the fire today.
second reading over to Brian.
Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. Unity and maturity in the body of Christ. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a worthy life of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called to one hope, you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean? Except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions. He also descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip these people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Amen.
Now we come to the Lord in prayer once again. Let us pray. Father God, we come to celebrate, yes, the coming of the Spirit, but there is so much that concerns us in this world today. We once again pray for Ukraine, and we pray for an end to all that war, to all those acts of violence. Oh Lord, we earnestly pray that it all might end, that peace might reign. We pray that peace will reign wherever terror or violence exists. And we ask, Lord, that you would give to the leaders of all the different nations your wisdom. We pray for our Queen. Lord, when we look back, 70 years of devoted service. Lord, we are truly thankful, and we know and we believe that the main reason that reign has been successful is because Queen Elizabeth gave her heart to you, and you serve through her. We thank you for this. We thank you that she is your servant. She recognizes the ministry of servanthood. And although we thank you for the past, we want to pray for her in the future. Lord, we know that things physically cannot be easy. But we pray, Lord, that you would continue to give her the strength that she needs. We pray for the rest of the royal family. Lord, you know their situations. We bring them and their needs to you also. But Lord, we pray for the leaders of all nations. Lord, the future is in their hands, and they need your guidance desperately. We pray for our own country. We pray, Lord, for all who serve you. We pray for the church throughout the world. We pray for the church in this country. And Lord, we pray for the service this afternoon. Lord, we pray for good weather, but Lord, most of all, we pray that many might come. And we pray that there will be those who come who do not know you, but who will come to know you, who will come to accept Jesus as their Saviour through that act of worship. So, Lord, may we see your Spirit work in that way. We pray for all people in need, so many different needs throughout the world. But, Lord, you know them, and we bring all people in need to you, and we bring all those who serve people in need, professionals and volunteers. We thank you for them all. We pray for people that we know. We pray for Rita. We pray for Stuart. We pray for Robert. And Lord, we also pray for Chris as she brings your word at the service today. And we pray for all that will happen in that worship. Lord, may it be for your glory and for the extension of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now it's the third reading over to Jean.
The third reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. And verses 28 to 30. Concerning spiritual gifts. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret?
Now the next song, Spirit of God Divine, fill this heart of mine.
Thank you.
So this morning we're looking at the gifts of the Spirit. Romans 12 verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. And 1 Corinthians 12 verses 4 to 6, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all people. The Holy Spirit imparts gifts to the Christians for the service of God. This equips us in the task of helping to build up Christ's church. The right gifts are given to us to enable us to fulfill a useful purpose within God's church. We are called upon to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Our involvement comes about not because of any merits that we think we might have, but because God has graciously, through His Spirit, equipped us for the task. Then the ultimate aim, of course, is to glorify God. And we're going to divide our thinking very quickly this morning into three sections. The giver, the one who gives the Spirit, the nature of the gifts, and the outcome. So first of all, the giver of the gifts. You know, in worldly terms, we may hear people talk about the gifts that they have, or that someone else they know possesses. And this is usually done to show what a good person they think they are. However, look at this. The very word gift implies something which has been given. Not what you've already got, something which is given. And in spiritual terms, of course, the gifts of the Spirit are given by God. The Holy Spirit is free and sovereign in distributing the gifts and the ministries that they are for. Yes, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. We can't think, well, we claim this gift or that gift. Oh no. The purpose of these gifts and ministry is twofold. Primarily, they are, of course, to glorify the Lord Jesus as gifts of the ascended Lord. And they demonstrate and they vindicate His Easter victory. But they're also there to promote the growth of the body of Christ, to promote the growth of the church. And that is so that the Christians may glorify Christ, and we as believers are edified, so that we become more mature in the faith. Paul taught that Christ is the giver of the gifts through the Holy Spirit. We know that, don't we? That's how the Spirit comes. The giver is God. All three are involved in the coming of the Spirit in this new and wonderful way. Number two, the nature of these gifts And this, I think, is important, because sometimes people think, oh, they're not for me. So let us look at their nature. From 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 to 11, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge, to another the gift of faith, to another the gift of healing, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between the spirits, to another speaking in tongues. And when that happens, we need the other one. Some people get the gift of interpretation of the tongues. And in public worship, there should not be tongues being used, in my thoughts, unless there is someone there to interpret them. In another part of Corinthians 1, it says this: the gifts are to help people to be apostles, prophets, teachers, worker of miracles, gifts of healing, the gift of helping others, and I want you to notice that one, the gift of administration, and the gift of speaking in tongues. And also still, or coming back to Romans, they mention in Romans 6 to 8, prophecy, teaching, giving, compassion, serving, encouraging, and leadership. And these gifts show, don't they, some of them, that you don't have to have the gift of prophecy or healing necessarily. God will give to us the gifts that He desires us to have. Ephesians, that mentions apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Since these lists are not identical, it may be that Paul has named all the gifts that are available. But according to Peter, everyone has at least one such gift. 1 Peter 4:10. Everyone should use whatever gift they have received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in various forms. Other scriptures teach us that specific gifts are reserved for individuals, and the individuals that are endowed with these gifts, they come from Christ through the Spirit. Now, of course, salvation is the gift of God to all people, and all the rest arises from that basic truth. The gift of salvation is there for all who will come and accept the Lord as their Saviour. And yet, we know that many people will not want to recognize Jesus as their Saviour. But my friends, these gifts are available to those who respond. These gifts are given by Christ through the Spirit, who distributes them to us. It is, I believe, good for us to desire and ask for such gifts, but we must accept that what is given will be in accordance with not what we've asked for necessarily, but what God's sovereign will is. And it will be the ultimate purpose to glorify God. Finally, number three, the outcome of the gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:7. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Verse 3 reminds us that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, was aware that within the church there was division. And so he calls for unity. But you know, it is God who works in us according to his will. And if we have the gift of prayer, and surely that is a gift. Yes, we all pray, but there is a special gift of prayer. And if we want to see unity, then surely we've got to pray in earnest, and we've got to persevere. We minister to the same body, Corinthians 7-11. The gifts, we're told, are given for the good of the whole church, not for individual enjoyment, but for corporate enjoyment. We are to accept our gifts with what? With humility, and that is essential. And we're to use them to provide harmony. No one should complain about his or her gifts, nor should we boast about the gifts. We are members of one body, the body of Christ, the church of God, of which he is the head. And we minister within that body to each other. We also have experience of the same baptism. It is unfortunate the original here New Testament meaning, the baptism of the Spirit, occurs at conversion, when the Spirit enters the believing sinner, giving them new life and making their body the temple of God. So in that sense, all believers have experienced the one-for-all baptism. That's when we are born again. We are baptized by the Spirit into the church of God. And we know, don't we, that the filling of the Spirit is a repeated experience. And we will need to ask for and experience the filling of spiritual power. One of my prayers, and you must surely know, is, Lord, fill me with the Spirit. Fill me again. It's so easy to be empty of the Spirit. But the Spirit is available. We need to ask for continual filling. May I include by saying something about the gifts and ourselves here in this church? Please, don't major on one gift, such as speaking in tongues. It is not a sign of superiority, as some believe. Please be aware that the gifts, the giver, and the purpose are there to encourage us and to recognize that this is part of God's work in the church. So we are to use our gifts humbly and yet with enthusiasm. Remember that they are given by building up the church and above all for glorifying God. Do you know, my friends, if you have the gift of serving, if you have the gift of being a host, if you have the gift of prayer, if you have the gift of visitation, you know, all these kinds of gifts are just as important as the other gifts. So whatever gift God gives us, let us accept it with thanks, but with the assurance that God has given to us the right gift. And use our gifts humbly and yet with enthusiasm, remembering that they're given to us to build up the church and to glorify God. Got three little experiences to share with you. Joe, he's a lovely bloke. Easy, so easy to get on with. I met him in my last church in London. And the street that he lived in, where he had been put, presumably by the council, he was the only black person in that street. And did he know it? The people in that street were horrible to him. They didn't want a black person in their street. And we got to know him. We helped him to move, he and his wife. And then we found out that his wife was already a believer. But of course, her belief had been made a little bit weaker than it had been. But she still believed. But poor Joe, oh no. But as we got to know him, Neil and I, some of you have heard of Neil before, student, we had the joy of baptizing Joe in the church. And it was almost as if when the baptism was over, he wanted to jump up in the pool. He was so joyful. And he came down to our diamond wedding last year. And he brought one of his daughters down. He's still a good and faithful Christian. But no thanks to the people that wanted to, you know, not accept him. The Lord accepts all. Then I want to share with you a lady who didn't believe. She was in hospital. I was visiting her. She was dying, we were told. She was in terrible pain. And there was a nurse there beside me. And suddenly we experienced a great thing. There was suddenly a lovely smile on this lady's face. Still in pain, and the nurse said to me, "Why do you think that is?" I said, "I believe she has found Christ." And that's the only explanation I could give. She died in pain, but with a smile on her face. And I can only believe with all my heart that the Lord received her into his family. And the other one I want to share is that in that last church in London, and it happened in other churches, but there particularly, there were very many faithful people who came every Sunday to church. That was what they'd been brought up to do. I didn't know. I had no idea how strong their faith was. Or in fact, if they had any faith. But as time continued, some of the oldest people, men and women, came and said, "I want to accept Jesus and I want to be baptized." And one of the deacons, at that time she was secretary of the church, found it very hard to explain why elderly people who'd been in the church for a long time suddenly came through to the Lord. "I thought they were Christians all along," she said. It's marvellous what the Spirit can do. And we must not accept the belief that every person that comes to church is a believer. because that is not true. But they're there, and they are easy material in one sense for us to share the gospel with. So let us keep our priorities straight, and let us major on winning the lost and building the church. And may it be all for his glory. You know, we could say, oh, look, I've helped this person come to the Lord. Be careful. We haven't helped that person come to the Lord. The Spirit has worked through us to achieve it. The work that we do is the work that God is doing through us. And if we think it's us, then I'm sorry. We are making a very grave mistake. Now we're going to sing our last song. It mentions the gifts, Spirit of holiness, wisdom and faithfulness, wind of the Lord, burning strongly and free, strength for our serving, joy for our worshipping. Spirit of God, bring your fullness to me. Cemetery in Newton Abbot as chaplain of the British Legion, for Newton Abbot, And this is one of the Sundays that I'm required to fulfill a duty. But we have coming from Richard. Yeah, Richard Siddle. Richard has been before, and he will be leading the service next Sunday. So let us get together and say the grace. Right. You manage it, Stuart? There we are. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you.